Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. It is time to have our radio program, a Bible study on Freedomizer Radio, and we'll be here for the next hour and a half, at least an hour and 25 minutes of working on it. And I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call into if you would like to. Well, I guess you have a couple of options. You can, if you call in, you can listen to it on your phone, or you could also, they will ask you if you want to speak or make a comment on the program, that you can join it live, and you just hit the number one, and that will indicate to me that somebody's on the line, wants to talk, and I will bring them on. But it's not written in concrete. I'd prefer if we could talk, and if you call in, that you would ask a question or discuss something in the scripture which we are talking about currently, and that would be just a little more to keep it in context of where we're going. And we've got Raven on in just a moment, but I'll give you a phone number. It's 319-527-6208, and that is free in continental United States, whether you're calling from a landline or a cell phone. And again, if you call, you're welcome to ask questions, make comments, but if possible, if we could just keep it limited to the text that we're talking about, which is going to be the text we're going to talk about for a long time, and it's going to be the cross of Christ, which is the most important thing that has ever happened in human history, and it will be the item that will determine where you spend the rest of eternity. Did you seriously, sincerely, and with all your heart, mind, body, and soul believe in the cross of Jesus Christ? Or did you intellectually believe in it only? Okay. Raven, you want to say a prayer and then we'll get rolling?
Sure. I'm having a little difficulty with my headset here, so
don't worry about it.
If I have
you're
a problem.
You're coming across good, and there's no breaking up or anything, so.
Okay, good. Okay. My volume seems to be having issues, so if I may have to switch over to a different headset. So we'll play it by.
One thing I want to tell you, I talked to Jim, and he uses a headset, and I don't think there's a day we don't have something where he's complaining
yeah.
about the headset.
Well,
I switched to
something different, which works 99% of the time for me, but every once in a while there's a little bit of a glitch. So today seems to be that day. So if I have to switch over to something else, I'll do it. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. That's no problem.
All right. Father, we are so very thankful for the sunshine that I see looking out my window today. And, Father, I love sunshine. I love sunshine. And I'm very thankful for it today. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all those things that you give us that, because, Lord, we know we complain when we don't have the things that we want, and shame on us, right? But we ask right now, Lord, that you just take over this next 90 minutes and keep the complaints away from us and just allow us to give out your word and show all the peace and the joy and the true love that we can have if we just remain in you. Because it is all about the cross of Christ. It's all about you. It's all about what we really have if we just focus on your love. And we'll thank you for all of that. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, now last week in talking of the cross of Christ, I mentioned that from the cross of Christ and our faith in it, everything that we have, everything that we do, including all the things that please you, is not something that's motivated by religion. And religion,
yeah,
the enemy of biblical Christianity, is not motivated,
yeah,
by what we do as far as our effort. It is motivated, yeah, and done 100% through the cross of Christ. It is a work that God does in us. And we mentioned the thing, the love of God. In fact, if you look at Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit, it says, but the,
yeah,
fruit of this love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness,
yeah,
faith, meekness, temperance, okay? But the first thing it says there is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that is interesting because, number one, love of God, not man's love perfected because you're doing what Carl says to do or you're going home after a Bible study and doing 10 things that Carl gives you to practice to show your love. That has nothing to do with it. It is through the cross of Christ and his suffering and his death, 100% willing, sacrificial death for us, for the forgiveness of sins. He instills in us his love, and that's 1 John 2:5, Romans 5:5, and 1 John 4:10-12, plus many others, but I'll just give you those three. And we're talking about the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit of love. 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to just say these things as a preamble here because it's going to us the necessity of having that love of God in us, not the little exercises we're given in church to do to make ourselves better. That is, I hate to say it, it's a total waste of time and space. The love,
yes,
of God comes for one reason, and that's because your faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else. And you have two in the scripture that are excellent. There's 1 Corinthians 12:14 about spiritual gifts. And strangely enough, in the middle of those two spiritual gifts, which is everything you need to know about spiritual gifts in those two chapters, in the middle of 12 and 14 is 13. And 13 is about the love of God being in your life. And it is not something that your church, that Carl, that any workbook, any study guide, any seminar you go to, any Christian cruise, none of that is going to give you the love of God other than your faith in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay, where I'm going with this, and Raven's going to say a few words on this from her own experience.
Okay.
As a Christian, we can choose, and it's the book of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and some of Galatians, but especially Romans 6, 7, and 8, it's impossible to deny that we as Christians have an option whether we're going to work on our effort, we're going to show the things of God in our effort, because we have now achieved a higher status than you have. We have become more holy than you are. We are self-righteous. We are more righteous. We've perfected this and you haven't. Okay, that's religion. The fruit of the Spirit and the love of God is something that is a direct result of only one thing, our faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, plus nothing, minus nothing. And I'm leading up to all of this to give, a little story that I actually witnessed the change myself in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to say much about it, but Raven had had a situation for about, I don't know, 3 years. I don't know how long it's been. This, where there was a hostile environment with a couple of members of her family, and God had literally knocked her off her horse at one time. And and I believe that's like with Paul, Raven. I believe that's when you, I'm not going to say you were saved, but when you said, yes, I will follow you. And so you all of a sudden, and I don't know what motivated all this, but one day you told me that you started to have a hostile engagement and conversation with one of your family members. They did with you, and you just totally switched. You switched the way you handled it 100%, and that totally changed two of them and how they treat you. My point is, the love of God is so powerful from the cross of Christ, as is everything from the cross of Christ, that it totally changed your approach, and it now has changed two other people's the way they respond to you. So rather than me just walking around here in circles, why don't you go ahead and explain? But it came after you were knocked off your horse like Paul was.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. And we've touched on this. In fact,
yeah,
we've talked
have.
About it before,
we
but
have.
Some people may not have heard it. And
I want to show Raven it's a direct result of your faith in Christ. It doesn't come any other way.
100%. 100%. And we've gone across this a few times, but this time I want to directly use scripture.
That's all I want to put forth. They've got enough nonsense to listen to today in the Laodicean church. Scripture only.
Right. And even though we backed it up with scripture before, this time I'm going to kind of go about it the opposite way. In other words, I'm going to give the scripture first. Yeah. I'm going
to
give the scripture. Right. I'm going to give the scripture first because I see it more clearly now than I did at the time that it happened, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, God has been giving me verses of scripture through the years. Before I even understood what some of those meant that he gave to me. Because sometimes he will give you scripture, and then later down the line, he'll say, yeah, that's what I meant by that. That's the reason I gave you that. Because at the time he may, it's sort of like just hold on to that for a minute, okay? Just hold on to that scripture, and eventually you will understand why I have given it to you.
I've experienced
and,
that.
Yes. So I'm going to go to the very first one. Thank you, Lord. Because this one, I only very recently was given the meaning for it. And it's in Psalm 51. And Carl, I recently shared this with you. You may not remember it, but when I read it, you'll remember it, that I recently shared it. So Psalm 51, and it is verses 5, 10, and 13. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. Now
give me what verse did you read? Hold on, what verse? Because I, strangely enough, when you said Psalm 51, I just put my finger in the Old Testament and I got right to it. Last verse you just read, I want to emphasize that in my own mind.
Yes, Psalm 51, 5, 10, and 13. And it's funny because I had zero understanding why these three separate verses, although in the same chapter, but he was very clear at the time. This has been 30 years ago, right about 30 years ago. And I had no, but I have kept those three verses in my head all these years because he said to me, these are for you.
I've never I've never seen this. I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee.
Yes.
Man, okay. Psalm 51, verse 13 is exactly what we're speaking of.
Yes. But these three verses, 5, 10, and 13, they're not right in a row. But
nope.
He told me 30 years ago, these three verses hold significance for you. Hold on to them. Now I'm going to get to the me falling out, falling off my horse moment. But these three verses are very, very, they have a lot to do with this because, as Carl said, he will knock us off our horse, so to speak, and it may not be just once in our life. Believe me, it has not been just once in my life. There have been a few times when he has said, "You just need to be brought to the point where you're willing to say, I understand." And I'm going to follow you completely. Now sometimes it takes a knock in the head, what I sometimes call my V8 moments. If any of you have ever seen those old V8 commercials where it's, you hit yourself in the head and say, I could have had a V8, And to me, that's my thing in my head. Doggone it, why didn't I listen before? Why didn't I hear it before? but it's because he has that foreknowledge. He knows what it's going to take for you and what you have to go through. But
this is
30 years.
Raymond, I got to tell you something. I'm not going to forget Psalm 51. It says here in 5, I'm just looking at it. In sin my mother did conceive me. That means I was conceived in sin. I was born a sinner, inherited.
Yes.
And then created me a clean heart, which he did at the cross with a renewed right spirit in me. And then 13 as a result. Boy, those are so good.
I know.
You might have given me this in the past, but I never connected the dots.
Well, I you may not have. This is what he gave me, brought back to my mind very clearly and very strongly. When people listening won't understand this particular, but when Dave and I parted ways, so to speak, this is when I'm getting into the story here. I've talked about this on here before. I had a very, very tragic, very, very abusive childhood. Carl, if I even told you everything, a lot. Right, and
not
you know a lot, but right, exactly. But you know a lot of things. But there are things which, I mean, there's no reason for me to go into it all.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
right.
No.
Exactly. But just suffice it to say, it was pretty horrific. But I have had difficulty with forgiveness all of my life because of some very horrific things. And my mother was one of those, okay? My mother was one of those. And so very recently I read this, and I read it from a different viewpoint because of God, because of him. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, I always read that as a sinful way of conception, but that's not what that means.
No, no.
That's not
no,
what
no.
that means.
Well,
right.
You know, at
I never
first
really...
read, at first yeah. read, Raven, that's what I thought. No, no, it doesn't, because verse 10 shows you it's not. He's creating in you a clean heart.
Right, right. I just never could grasp the meaning of this verse.
Yep.
It just this whole thing was just. And the reason is because when we go to Scripture, we have to do the right thing. We have to ask God to open our eyes and say, "What is it that you want me to see in this?" Ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, because that is exactly who he is. And so when he told me to open this up and go back to this and read it, I said, okay, Lord, why did you give me these verses? What are you trying to show me?
And when did this
this
happened. No, that you received the verses chronologically.
About 30 years ago. About 30 years
oh,
ago. Now, I was... Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Long time ago. Long time ago.
Okay.
Right. And just now he revealed the meaning to me. So this is the reason I'm really bringing this up is because we often think that God has not answered our prayer. Think that. We are, remember, now I'm going to use a verse that, I'm going to go back, let me find it here. I am going to use a verse right now that people misuse so often that sometimes I want to turn over tables. but let me find it because...
go ahead.
It talks about how long-suffering God is, and it's talking about his patience. It's not
and
talking about how long.
That's one of the fruits of the Spirit that he gives us is patience,
yes.
Long-suffering.
Yes, and it's not talking about how, it's not talking about how.
About discipline.
Well, right, but that's not what people use it for. Well, it might be, but that's not, it's often misused to talk about it's the 1,000 years, you know, a day is 1,000 years. It's not talking about how long it took to make the world, people. It's not talking about that. Let me find this.
Yep.
A day is 1,000 years, and let me find this verse.
It's about creating a new spirit in you is what it does.
Right, It's talking about his patience in allowing people to come to Christ. Where is that verse?
Amen. Amen.
And people use it to say, oh, see, it could have taken him 7,000 years to make the world. And that's not what this
yes.
is. A day yes. is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day.
Yes.
I am. Help me, Carl. Where is that?
What does it say?
Hold on. You know what? I think it's Second Peter. Hold on.
Oh, yes, it is. I know what you're, okay, I know the verse you're referring to. It is in Peter. The
okay,
Lord
Peter.
Knows he's not slow.
Yes, yes.
The Lord is not slow as we count slowness.
Yes.
But wishing all
men. I'm almost positive that's 2 Peter.
No, you're right, yeah.
Anyway, so you know what I'm talking about, and probably most people do too.
Yep.
I've got the problem is I have my fingers in 4 different places in Scripture right now.
Don't worry about it.
All right. So yes, the Lord is not as slow in his long suffering and right. So my point here is that we consider. We are impatient, though, and we think that we pray for something, and boy, he better come through in the next 10 minutes to 2 months at the most, or he has not answered our prayer. Now, look how long it took him, 30 years, before he showed me the meaning of this verse. Now, was it because he was slow? No, it's because I'm slow.
Second Peter 3:9.
Okay. Let me go find that. Or can you read it for me since I have my...
Yes.
Oh, hold on here.
It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance.
Yes, there it is. Now, think of that a minute. He's long-suffering. He's willing that all should come to repentance. Now, yes, we're talking about salvation, but he wants us to repent in all ways, right?
Amen.
Not just that, yeah. He wants us to repent in everything. Not just in when it comes to salvation, but he wants us to always be repenting of all of our mess ups, right?
Yeah.
Well, this was a big repentance problem for me, and that is that I needed to forgive her, and it was causing me issues with serving him. I mean, it just was, and it's not that I wasn't serving him. But I believe it was a block for me to serve him in the way he needed me to serve him, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
Nope.
So because there are other things that he, and he's shown me this, there are other things he has in mind for me, but he needs me to get some of this garbage out of the way.
Amen. We're all in that place. I'm in that place right now. Where he's showing me more and more garbage. Once he deals with something, he opens up more. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. So 30 years later, he brings this back to my mind again and says, okay, you're in a further along place, and now that you're more open to me and you're more open to doing my will, I need you to see this. Oh, let me tell you something. I mean, I broke down. I fell apart. I mean, repentance and, I was a mess that day. But at the same time, that mess that I was a good mess. It was me repenting. It's that mess, you know. It's that thing where, and I'm an emotional person, and God made me this way. He made me to be emotional because I have, he needed me like this. He needed me to be emotional. He needed me to have this heart for the lost that is so huge that I need to give the gospel. This is who he made me, okay? So,
you say
behold,
you have an emotion as far as a burden for the lost?
Yes. I believe
that may be partly a gift of the spiritual gift of evangelism. I'm not talking evangelism. We're all to evangelize. That's a great commission.
Right.
But an overwhelming, exceeding burden for that is the gift of evangelism. That's just, you might,
yeah.
That may be, strangely enough, where you and I talk about another person we think is a natural evangelist, and you also may be. But go ahead.
I believe so, and I mean it is, and I believe that that's the reason that he put this. What I consider it a gift, but not a spiritual gift, but a gift of these emotions he's put in me. No. I'm talking about the emotion, the gift of emotions that he's given me.
That is a gift. Yeah.
Yes.
Not a spiritual
yes.
gift. You're right. But
right,
yeah,
right.
Everything
yeah.
comes from the cross, everything.
Exactly. And I believe it's there because he knows that I need to have that empathy, that great desire.
That's correct. In fact,
yeah.
I don't see how you could have the spiritual gift of evangelism without that brokenness, which is
yeah.
an emotional. I don't see
yeah.
how you could. I okay.
Yeah. In fact, it brings tears to my eyes even just thinking about it now and talking about it. It's just, it's,
yep.
I hurt for these people.
That's
so,
a good,
anyway.
That's a better way of saying it than emotion. You hurt. Yep.
Yeah. So as I was reading this, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It gave me, what burst up in me is this strong hurt for my own mother, who and the possibility that she was not saved. I don't know. The likelihood is small, but there's always that possibility because
yep.
In the last several years of her life, we didn't see each other very much. And this is really hard, but now it is. I could have talked about this with almost no emotion at all a few months ago, but in the last couple months, my heart for her has changed, and that's because God has changed that.
Well, that's Psalm 51.
Yeah, exactly. And as I read this, the Holy Spirit showed me that this is where she was, you see. Also, it's not just about the fact that we have this sin nature because of the fall, but also in sin she conceived me also meaning that she did not know him. She did not know him. And this is just something that he showed me. And so then verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Show me forgiveness, Lord. Show me where I need to repent of all these things that the unforgiveness, the bitterness because she could not possibly, and this is so important, we need to remember this. People who don't know him, they have no way for him to create that clean heart in them. They cannot have a clean heart without Christ. It's impossible. So as my mother raised me throughout the years, even though the grace of God had appeared to her, I know throughout my upbringing, I know that unless she was saved late in life, she did not know him. And she could not possibly have treated me the way God intended me to be treated, because she didn't have him living in her.
Okay,
it,
now
it
I want to
yeah.
let me ask
yeah,
a question
ahead.
Here.
Yeah.
Treated you in a way that was not good. But
yeah.
what I hear you, what I got from your the last year and a half from you is you were choosing not to treat two members of your family with the love of Christ until you actually were knocked off that horse. So in other words, you had the option of treating people the way through the power of Christ because of your faith in him crucified at the cross. You had that potential, but you chose not to use it. Is that correct?
Sort of. The problem is I was trying through my own flesh
okay.
to do it.
I shouldn't say you chose not to. You for whatever reason you were trying to make it happen.
Yes, that's right.
That's right, and that's not a fruit of the cross. Yes,
that's right.
Okay,
I was trying to be better in the way. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope, you're right.
Yeah.
That's Raven. That's
yeah.
the bane of the modern Christian church. We're trying to
yeah.
do better. We can't. We're not wound that way. God never gave us
yes.
the ability to do that.
Yes.
And that's Romans 8:3.
Yeah. I was trying to do better in the way that I treated them. And there were many times that I gave things over to him. But God showed me at some back in July, God showed me back in July that I needed to stop and just let him handle it. Let him do it, because just like my mother had no ability in him, she had none. She didn't even have the ability to do this.
Right, right. There's the difference.
He, right.
Maybe both of you weren't using it, but she never had it. You had a choice.
Yes. He's giving me the ability to just let him do it through me. So stop. First of all, I can't blame her. I can't blame her for, I need to stop being bitter towards her and unforgiving towards her, because she didn't even understand. She had no way of understanding. The Holy Spirit didn't live in her. And just think, if she never had him, think of where she is now. What a horrible, horrible thought.
Yep. I agree.
This is heartbreaking for me to know that my mother, it could very well be, I mean, we know that they're not in hell yet. You know, they're in the burning. That's
yeah,
another
right.
big one. Right. But the point is that, you know, that rather than being unforgiving towards her, I should be sorrowful and hurting towards where on Judgment Day she will be. And then, so 10, 5 and 10 really was a huge eye-opener for me and gave me the ability to forgive her, because...
And that is 100% a fruit of the cross of Christ, 100%.
I mean, and so I'm saying to any of you out there who are bitter, who are unforgiving, who just think right now where if they're already gone, where they're going to be if they didn't know Christ, and if they're not gone yet, think of where they will be. Listen, I have children who don't know him yet. I have family members who don't know them yet. Instead of being angry and unforgiving, it's more important that we do our very best.
Okay, and Raven, let me interrupt you here a minute. What
yeah.
you're saying right now is exactly what I want to get down to, and I want to compare. Contrast when he gave you this new heart, that you changed your approach and conversation 180
yes.
degrees, not 179 degrees, 180, and that actually resulted in verse 13 happening. That's the thing
yes.
I want to get to.
Yes, exactly. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Now, let me tell you something.
Because you grabbed on to the benefit that he won for you when he was crucified.
Yes.
In other words, before this one, and you, I can't remember how long ago, maybe a year and a half ago, you told me that one of them started to beat you up verbally, and for the first time, you just sat and listened. That's the part that I want. In other words, you
right.
changed. You used the fruit of the
yes.
Spirit, which was won for you at the cross, nowhere else, not religion,
yes.
not your trying harder.
Yes. Well, that actually started in July when I went out to Nebraska, when both of them came at me.
So you're saying, okay, it was just recently. Okay,
yes.
Well, when you got knocked off your horse, a figure of speech, that was a couple
yes.
of years ago. So, okay.
That was in 2019. So that was
okay.
4 years ago. And that really,
yep.
I think, started this whole sort of, even though I've been saved for.
Oh, it did.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I've been saved for
it
a long time,
so
but that really.
So I'm going to bring that verse in Peter that you mentioned several times. God is not slow.
Yes.
But he
right.
will accomplish it. Don't give up on prayer. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so in 2019, I'm going to give a quick synopsis, and that is that I had been, I'd actually been praying for this. I had been going to work every day. Yep. I'd been praying for God to show me every single day. Now, I was working anywhere from 6 to 7 days a week, 8 to 12 hours a day, mostly 12-hour days. And I would stand there. I was working in a factory at the time. And because my boss knew I was disabled, but at the time I was refusing to go on disability because I was still a little worldly, right? I believed that I needed that money. There was no way I was going to make it without it, right? So I would go to work and I would stand there and I would pray all day, Lord, show me what I have to do. I'll never forget this. Every day, this was my prayer. Show me what I need to do to get out of this mess. Because
the answer was you can't do it. He'll do it all if you look to him.
Exactly. And so I would be at the doctor's offices. I ended up with surgery twice. I mean, I just, everything. If anyone's ever heard, and I'm going to use this for a moment. If anybody's ever heard, there's this old joke about this person that is out in the middle of the ocean and a helicopter comes by and you heard this, Carl?
Yep.
You know, the helicopter comes and the guy, and the boat and I don't know, all these things, and he refuses them and he says, you know, God, why won't you save me? And he says, well, I sent you a helicopter and a boat, and you know what I mean? And you're refusing all my help, right? And so this is, and this is what was, you know, the doctors are telling me to go on disability, everybody, you know? Yep.
That's inappropriate.
And so, right.
Go ahead.
And so finally, one day after work, I fell, I mean, completely collapsed in front of my door. And that was sort of God's, well, I've sent you everything else. You know, the doctors have been telling you and work has been, you know, I mean, everybody's telling you, you're done. Well, you're done. You're done. I collapsed in front of my door. I was about 6 feet away from it. I can't describe my sidewalk area, but, you know, I was six and I could not get up. Could not get up. My next door neighbor is about 80 years old, and he's waving his arms at me. He doesn't know what to do. He can't help me. So I crawled. I mean, think about one of the most humiliating things that can happen to you. You cannot help yourself. I mean, God allowed me to be brought to to nothing.
Because you were not trusting in what he did at the cross, but in your effort.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Good. Right. You're going where I want.
Yep. And so I had to literally crawl to think of Paul blinded and someone having to, you know, take him all the way into town, right? They had to lead him in.
Yep.
Because he
couldn't see.
He couldn't see. He had to be taken in because it was like, okay, listen, you know, Christ's been trying to tell you the truth and you didn't want to listen, so here it is. You know, you've been in front of all these Christians preaching the gospel, and you've been attacking them. Now, I haven't been hadn't been attacking any Christians, but I've been attacking Christ. Think about that. I've been attacking Christ because I didn't believe that he could do for me, even though I was saved. It was worse. I didn't believe that he could do it all for me.
So your faith really in the cross. Your faith in the cross was, and I won't say you didn't have faith for salvation. I'm sure you did. But this is another point I never stressed. At the cross, when he shed his blood for us, he gave us everything we need, not only for next life, but for this life.
Yes.
If we believe it, okay? Because to say you weren't saved would be an anomaly to what we're talking about. You are trying to do it on your own. You had surrendered salvation, I'm sure. I've known you much longer than this period of time. I know you are saved, but the point of the matter is you were not yet trusting in the benefits of Jesus Christ and him crucified, plus nothing, minus nothing. You had to add your help. So go ahead. This is good.
Right. In this life, there were still things here that
Amen.
I hadn't surrendered.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Can I give you a verse to read? Let me give you a verse to read that say exactly where you were.
Yeah.
Go to First Peter.
Okay.
This verse is just sticking out at me. First Peter 1:3.
Okay, hold on, let me just get there.
That's not it. Bear with me. I'm going to find it because this is something I have not tied to the cross as much as I should have. It's actually 2 Peter 1:3. And what you're bringing up, I didn't even intend to go today, but not only is the cross our salvation, but everything that we get from God in this life must be based on our faith in him crucified, not in our ability to do it.
2 Peter 1:3,
it says exactly where you're going.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Everything that pertains to life, that's what you're saying. Even though you were saved, you were not using his strength, his power, his attributes. You were still trying to do it on your own, and it was failing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
Of course it was failing. Of course it was failing. Do you know why it was failing? Because he wanted it to. He wanted me to fail.
Absolutely.
He was
letting
me fail. He wanted me to completely and utterly fail so that I would turn to him.
Amen. This whole idea, Raven, even though I've known that verse for a long time, the benefits of the cross and him crucified is not just when we die. It's every moment of every day living this life.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure I've seen it, but it never meant that much to me till now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say if you're failing at anything, go to God and thank him. Go to God and thank him for letting you fail and turn to him.
That's a common sense way to approach it, but I've never really thought of that. Thank him that you're failing, your religious effort.
Yes. I never thought of that either, but he just gave that to me just now. Yes.
He's already done. Oh, we're going right where I want to go.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way until just now either. But
so he's given you this. He's done this for you now. Give a little bit of how you treated the conversations before, and then this one day that you decided. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
So I spent a couple hours in prayer, finally gave things up to him and said, okay. And I called the doctor, went on disability, et cetera. He, by the way, most people, I'm just putting this out here because people are probably like, yeah, whatever. At least some of them probably are. Let me tell you something. Going on disability is usually a very long, drawn-out thing. When I said, and my this prayer with him was a big deal. It was huge. I could go through and talk about the whole thing and whatever, but I finally just said, okay, Lord, I trust you no matter what. I believe that you are going to take care of me, because I had no savings, none, zero. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I had nothing. So I said, okay, Lord, you have never, ever not provided for me. I believe that you will, no matter how long it takes. And he did. And it took less than 90 days for my disability to be approved. That is almost unheard of.
Okay.
Almost unheard of. It's very, very quick. In fact, my doctor was astounded. So I'm just saying, trust in him. Now that said, I also was willing to continue to believe in him, even if it hadn't. That's the big thing. Even if it hadn't been approved within less than that 90 days, I was willing to believe in his providing, even if I ended up out on the street. That's the big thing. See,
that is a major hurdle. That's a major hurdle.
Yes, it is. And I believe that that's why it only took less than 90 days, because I was willing to believe in him no matter what.
Yeah.
I just believed that he would provide for me no matter what happened.
All right. Explain the way you talked to him, and then a transition point that changed everything.
Yeah. So in July, move forward. In July, there was a confrontation. I went out to Nebraska to visit one of my daughters with my other daughter. And I was verbally attacked by both of them. It's a very long story, so I'm not going to go into it. But it was really awful. And I didn't respond. In fact, my go-to when I'm attacked is usually to
climb in your hole.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. But I also, it also is very upsetting to me. So I internalize some anger. I internalize a lot of fear. And I internalize a lot of even unforgiveness. Yeah. All that stuff goes inside, even though I may not, on the outside, react.
Yep.
Okay. So after that happened, and even during this, but right after that happened, you know, I went into a lot of prayer, and I talked to God about this, and he was just like, you know, you just have to let it go. You have to let it go and let me handle it. Let me handle it. So during this little vacation time, I started to do that in small little bits, but not completely. So I took my daughters out to dinner, but there was, you know, and I just, but there was still in me some unforgiveness. So I came back home. I came back home, and I spent a lot of time by myself over the next couple weeks in prayer and in Bible study and just trying to just release it to him. And at some point in there, and this has been a few months, you know, just in August. Yeah, in August.
Half a year.
And and in August, he showed me some things. And this is when I say that this gift of emotions that I have, this is God's gift to me that he gave me. He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this means a lot to me now. This is how he has made me. This is who I am. But I need to allow him to use it. Everything that I am, every way that he's made me. And I found out some things about me. We are all made differently. Carl, you're more stoic than I am. You know what I mean?
I am, which is a negative because it leads to believing you can do it.
Well, when I say that, I don't mean it, though, as a I'm just saying that's who you are. I'm just saying that's who you are. You're less emotional.
I'm more emotional. Yeah.
Yes. You're less emotional. You're more logical. You're more like this is how it is. And right, you know what I mean? I have emotions upon emotions. I'm a very emotional person. When I am joyful, you will see it all over me. You know, and or happy. I'm going to use the word happy because I don't want to put that in the same thing as biblical, because they are two different things, although they can merge together. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I'm happy, you will see it. You'll see this huge smile on my face, and I'm a very, very happy person. When I'm sad, you will see it. It will come out. But God is trying to sort of, and I see this now, sort of merge these two a little bit together. And he's showing me how to let him take control of those. Am I making sense?
Hold on. What I'm seeing here is he's finally telling you, Raven, I've done this for you when I was crucified at the cross. Would you please allow my grace to flow into you?
Yes. Yes. He wants me. He wants me to let him.
Trust.
Yeah, right. But he wants me to let him take the person that he has created, me. He wants me to let him take all the gifts that he gave me at birth, the person that he created, me, and the emotions and the talents, right, that he gave me, the talents and all those things, yes, and merge them with the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit that he gave me at rebirth when I accepted Christ, and make those all into that new creation, allow that new creation to work for him. Am I making sense here?
And when he did that, Psalm 51, verse 13, where you converted, you actually, by your obeying and trusting in his sacrifice, giving you the means to do what you wanted to get done, when you trusted in that alone, it actually changed the attitude of the people who were antagonistic towards you.
Right. Now, again, I was saved. I was saved a long time ago, but the problem is...
We're talking about everything we need for life, and I'm not really conscious on that, but that's what I want to hit on.
Right. I was saved in May of 2000, okay?
Okay.
But this is a... What he's shown me is that this is a journey, a progression, this progressive sanctification, making us more and more like him. In fact, it is what you and I have talked about many times, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This perfection is actually also translated as maturity. We are slowly being made more and more mature in Christ as we go through these trials that we go through. And we often see them as problems. But God sees them as wonderful opportunities for us to grow in Christ. Instead of seeing them as problems, like the day that my daughters attacked me, that wasn't a problem. It was an opportunity.
Go to that, because when they've attacked you up to this point, you attack back.
Inside, usually not outside. Now let's take that day.
Right, inside. And inside is where the change occurs.
Yes.
Everything can be happens on the inside.
Yes. And now here's the thing. Now I would often back off, get upset, but they had to have seen, even though I wouldn't outwardly, they had to have seen the annoyance.
This one day in August.
Yes. So in August.
You changed 180 degrees. You allowed Christ's benefits at the cross that you now trust in over your ability. You allowed them to work out in your life. And what happened instantly?
Instantly. So I was at my daughter's house. To be honest, I can't even remember what she was upset about. Does it really matter?
No.
It makes no difference.
You never even... Even the week you came back, you never mentioned what she was upset, just a whole bunch of things.
Right, right. There were a bunch of things that happened in July, but in August, about a month later, I was at her home, my daughter here. I was at her home, and she got mad at me about something, and I don't remember what. It doesn't matter. In fact, I don't think she was mad at me. I think she was just kind of mad at the world type of thing, and she was taking it out on me.
It's your change that God worked in you because you recognize he's already done it at the cross that actually changed everything.
Yes. So, I mean, she was yelling at me and my granddaughter was sitting there and she's just kind of looking like, okay, she didn't know what to do. So after about 60 seconds of her, I could feel inside me like, what's even going on here? Why is this happening? And God just said, just go. Just get up and leave. There's no reason for you to get upset. There's no reason to allow her to continue being upset. This whole situation is really, it's really nothing. It's just a big bunch of fleshly mess, and you don't need to be here. So, and normally, you see, I would cower into a corner, as I said before, angry and annoyed and fearful and all that stuff, and God took it all away in a second, in a heartbeat, because I listened to him. And I just put on my coat, And she's looking at me like, where are you going? And she didn't say anything, though. I stood up. I put my coat on. I picked up my purse, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm just going to go. Very calmly. Very, I mean, it was like I was saying, I'm going to walk down to the store. I mean, it was just nothing. I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go, and I'll see you later, and I love you. And I started walking towards the door. But she couldn't handle that. She couldn't handle the peace of Christ in her home. And she started.
Now we're getting,
yeah.
Now we're getting
yeah.
to verse 13 of Psalm 51.
Yes. She couldn't handle it, and she started screaming at me again. And I turned around and looked at her, and I took about two steps back because all I was going to say was, I love you. And she started, it was the oddest thing. She said, don't you come near me. Don't you come at me. I mean, it was really strange. And now when I look back at it, I think it was that fear of God that she couldn't handle. She did. It wasn't me, because I'm 64 years old. Okay. She's 30. I am disabled. I walk with a cane. I could no more hurt her than an
yeah,
infant
right.
could hurt, you know what I mean? So,
oh,
and she's
it.
Never, right, and she's never spoke to me that way before. She's never been afraid of me. And I just looked at her, and I said, what? And I was like 8 feet away from her. And I said, what? And I said, honey, I love you. And I'm going to go. And I'll see you later. And my granddaughter just kind of looked at me too, you know, and she looked at her mom, and it, you know, and I said, I'll see you later. And I turned around and I walked toward, and as I opened up the door, she started hurling curses and all kinds of just vile, you know, comments. I mean, just anything she could think of. And I didn't say anything else. I turned around, I pulled the door, and just as I was about to pull the door shut, I said, I love you very much. And I shut the door, and I left. And she didn't say, and she didn't respond to me for probably, 3 days maybe. And I normally text or call her, you know, every day or two. But I just needed to allow her to think about, and it wasn't, but it wasn't me. God told me, he said, just let her be. Just let
this
her be.
This is the key. You're now trusting in him and him crucified rather than you're figuring out how to defeat this problem.
Absolutely, because my normal reaction would be, okay, I need to fix this. See, that's me. I need
yep,
to
right,
fix
right,
it.
Right.
Yep.
And he's already fixed it.
Yeah, he's already fixed it. But I would be saying, I need to fix this. I need to make sure she's okay. I need to make sure that
yep.
she's not mad at me. See, because
yep.
this is my
yep.
thing. I am a huge people pleaser. I worry about how people think of me, how they look at me, and if they are mad at me, I'm either going to walk away and leave and be concerned and not talk to them because I'm afraid of how they're going to react to me, or I'm going to go talking to them and saying, please don't be upset. I mean, I'm going to, that's my way. That's my
no,
way.
No, I understand.
You know, yep. And you know, Carl, I've done this with you before because I worry. You know, I've said to you, are you upset with me or did I do, you know, I've said a couple times, you know, did I say anything wrong or whatever, you know, but,
yep.
or I've just not stopped talking to somebody because I'm afraid of how they feel about me. And that's,
yep.
that's not
yep.
good. That's not the right thing, but that's who I am in my flesh.
Okay.
So, and I'm learning to trust. Yep. And I'm learning to trust God in these things because that's what I need to do. So, but,
okay,
you
now,
know, he said,
her,
just
what was her change? And not only that, Raven, but the girl that lives next to you, you had the same conversation with her at a breakfast or something, and she
yes.
attacked you, and you did nothing.
Yep.
So on both of
yep.
these, I want to now because we're down to 20 more minutes. I want
you to tell
the people what is actually, what instantaneously, when you trusted what Christ did for you on the cross, it instantly worked Psalm 51:13. That I want you to get to.
Yes. Now I hadn't mentioned that my daughter out in Nebraska, after the July thing, she stopped speaking to me. In fact, she texted me and said, "We can't talk anymore." Now, the funny thing is that I had...
You drove 650 miles or so without any conversation, really.
No, that was the one here. That's the one here. This is the one out in Nebraska.
Okay.
Right, the one in Nebraska... the one in Nebraska called me a horrible person, and she's the one that attacked me, and I just looked at her and I said, you know, you're right. That's why I need Christ. And I heard nothing back from her after that. She just stared at me, had no answer.
I'd forgotten you'd said that. Okay.
Yeah. And I think she couldn't handle it. I think she could not handle my response and just didn't know what to do with it. And so after she said, I can't.
Right. I totally understand that. You know, that's why you need, that was a perfect answer. In fact, I didn't remember you even said that, but go ahead.
Yeah. And she's the one that may or may not be a Christian. She says she is. She goes to church. She, a Christian church, you know, a believing church, she takes her kids. Her husband goes, but he's definitely not saved, although he says he is. And I could go into a big, long story about that, but anyway. But, I mean, there's a 99.99999 chance he's not. Okay, I'm just saying. And you and I have talked about it, and we know why.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So, anyway. So... but she said, I just can't. So I said, oh, okay. You know, I mean, what am I going to do, argue with her about it? Well, the me in the past probably would have said, why, what's wrong? But I just, God said, just let her go. Let her do what she needs to do. So I said, okay. I said, if that's what you need to do, then I will respect your boundaries. And you know, you let me know, you know, if and when you want to talk. And
okay.
I let it go. So the thing with the one here in, you know, in town, when
it
I just let her go.
It was similar
right.
in the fact she had verbally and you did nothing.
Right. So a few days later, she texted me with just a picture of some cupcakes that she had made for someone at work. It was kind of funny because I think she was just kind of putting something out there to see if I would. Are you talking to me, Mom? You know, type of thing. And I just said, "Oh, they're beautiful." She makes. She's a cake decorator, as a little thing on the side, you know, in addition to her work. And
I didn't know.
She does an she does a beautiful job. Oh my goodness, just beautiful. And my mother did the same thing. My daughter didn't even know that.
Is it a
What's
cake?
That? Yeah, she cakes, cupcakes, cookies. I mean, she bakes.
Okay.
Yes, and she'll make a little extra money on the side. And she didn't even know that my mother did the same thing when I was growing up.
Good.
She never knew it, and she does it now. It's kind of funny. So anyway, and I said, honey, they're just gorgeous. They're beautiful, you know, and I ask her a question, you know, how you doing? Oh, you know, but ever since this incident happened, she has become much kinder, and there have been a couple little times where she's, you know, but I mean, she doesn't know Christ. She doesn't, you know, I have actually no expectations of her whatsoever, you know what I mean? But she has changed in the way she speaks to me, in the way she treats me, for the most part. I mean, she just has become much kinder. In fact, for Christmas, in the past, she's always just kind of been like, I mean, a year ago Christmas, she, you know, she bought me something really nice, and I told her how wonderful it was. But this year, she just really went all out. And here's the big thing. Here's the really big thing. My daughter, the one here, is very, very anti-Christian. I mean, she doesn't want to hear about God. She doesn't want God talked about around her. When we were out in Nebraska seeing the other daughter, she even mocked my other daughter, who they're pretty close, but she even mocked her about God and her beliefs. I mean, she just extreme. And for Christmas this year, she bought me, I cried when I opened it. She bought me a T-shirt that says, "Not perfect, just forgiven." That's the gospel.
Well, that's exactly what you're seeing in Psalm 51:13. That's exactly
yes.
What.
Exactly. Now, my daughter would no more have bought me a shirt like that than she would have bought a Bible for herself a year ago. But this is the change that God is making in my family because of my obedience.
Amen.
To him.
Now this is where I wanted to go. It's a result of you living in what he did for you at the cross and not fighting your own battle.
Yes. Now, to the very last thing that you said there, the other daughter out in Nebraska came to town for a wedding in November. And normally when she comes to town, she's just sort of, okay, yeah, well, we'll stop and say hi, Mom, and that's about it. You know, and I'm lucky if I see her for 2 minutes and she's gone. And I expected that to stop. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's just, you know, it's a very, very long story. It has to do with it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But this time in November, she called me up and she said, "Would you like to go have breakfast?" And I said, "Sure, that would be wonderful. I would love that." And they ended up running a little bit late, and so it ended up about 11, and she brought her husband with her, which I found interesting because, anyway, that's another story. So anyway, but she brought him with her, and we hung around and talked for, maybe hour and a half, maybe even a little more. And she was very kind. And now, since I saw her then, we still haven't talked very much. But, you know, once or twice, we've talked on the phone. And here's the big thing. Normally at Christmas, I'm lucky if she sends me a gift card. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. Now they make probably 10 times as much as I do. That's not an exaggeration. Between the two of them, I would say they make about 10 times as much as me.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Not exaggerating. But her excuse for not, and I always buy for them and the kids at Christmas, but her excuse for not doing anything for me is always money issues. And I just kind of go, okay. I mean, you know, what am I going to say? Whatever. I don't really care. It's not the money. I could care less. It's the idea that she has to come up with some excuse for not caring about me. Yeah. Right? So, but, you know, whatever. The very fact that she has to come up with an excuse means that she has guilty feelings in her own head. So you live with your guilt, you know, whatever. So, but here's the thing. This year, she went out of her way to to buy two things for me instead of just sending me a gift card, and two things that she knew were meaningful to me.
Okay.
And there is the difference. You see what I mean?
No. That indicates a change in heart.
That's right.
And
that's right.
That's where I wanted to get to. No, you've done it with both of them. But both of them have changed because you trusted in God and what he did for you at the cross rather than your abilities.
That's it right there. It's not me. It's him working
in me.
That
Psalm 51 is perfect. You were created in sin, means we came to this earth enemies of God, per Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans 5. God
yes.
has created a new heart in you. But now 30 years later, you have gone back to the cross and asked him to help you in a situation, a real life situation. That's what I want to get to. The cross has not only saved your soul, but it is there to help us in these real life situations, even things that are so explosive as relationships in our family.
Yes. Which are the most difficult.
No, you got it. You've done what I wanted.
Our situations that we have in our family are some of the most volatile, some of the most difficult. And the reason is because we really do love them. And
that's
we
right.
have, yes, yes, yes.
But
because we love them so much.
Yeah, you can't pull smoke over family's eyes because they know the real you.
Yes.
But see, the real Raven for 30 years as a believer would have been confrontational, I would assume. But when you all of a sudden trust Christ, you actually changed the way both of them treated you.
The real Raven would have been, my attitude would have been, why are you treating me this way? How can you act this way towards me? And cowering and fearful, and I don't understand why. That's how, not combative as in, but still, it's an internal combative, and it's, I don't understand why you're at, you know, it's that kind of combative.
Yep.
Do you understand?
Once you trusted God.
Yeah.
For this life situations, that he died on the cross to already give you the victory, you had the victory with both of them. That, to me, was the amazing thing, both of them.
Yeah. And the reason, oh, goodness, the reason is because Psalm 51 tells us, here's the big thing, I don't deserve a thing.
No, it's by grace.
Yes, I deserve nothing, even from my daughters. I don't deserve anything.
No, but he's already done it for you.
Yes. So even if they continue, this is important, Carl. Hold on just a second, because this is important.
Even if
for the rest of my life, they can continue to treat me like garbage. It doesn't matter. Because God already has given me a future in eternity that is more than this life matters.
No, you've covered exactly. We're about 3 or 4 minutes away from the end, but you've covered exactly what I intended. Not only that, you threw that verse, you threw Psalm 51 in there, which is a perfect synopsis of what happened to you.
But you see
Psalm 51:13 is actually what you didn't do it, but Psalm 51 verse 13 actually happened because you trusted in what Christ did at the cross rather than your effort.
1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this.
Right. Me, I look at that as physical death as well as death as my own ability.
Yeah. We're appointed to this. We are going to suffer tribulation. We're going to suffer persecution. But God has a better final eternity for us.
You're right.
We've been appointed to this.
I wanted to bring this story out, and we did take the whole time, but it's important, folks, that you see a real-life situation where two hostile combatants, independently of each other, changed when Raven decided she was going to let Christ's grace flow through her rather than her ability. And this is a bane of the church. We're not learning this in general in church. We're learning ways to handle the problem. We can handle it. It's been handled at the cross. Why don't we understand that? That's the point I want to make of this. You're the perfect example in this story of how you trusted Christ in something, and instantly their reaction changed 180 degrees. That to me is still... it's still mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I do.
Right. But the battle belongs to him. The battle
and he wanted
is
it to,
the Lord.
He's wanted it at the cross. Raven, just read, if you would, Colossians 2:14-15, that says the same thing you're saying, and then we're going to have to split.
Yeah.
No, you accomplished what I wanted.
Colossians 2:14-15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
So at the cross, he beat all the things that are trying to knock you down. If we'll just trust in what he did at the cross. That's why I keep saying the cross of Christ, nothing could happen more significant in your life or in your death.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, you've done well. You've got what
Wait,
I wanted.
Wait, there's one more.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Wait, there's one more, and I want to read this. This is so important. This is so important. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this one. Okay. It's in Samuel. It's in Samuel. 1 Samuel 17:47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is David and Goliath. When you wonder what you're going to do, why everything is falling apart around you, and how you're going to handle everything that's going on, go read 1 Samuel 17 about David and Goliath. The battle belongs to him.
That's a good ending, and we are out of time, so thank you, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.